Please be seated. How many of you remember Easter egg hunts? Some people have like both hands in there. They're like, yes, and I would still do it. Easter egg hunts are one of those things that have become traditionally associated with Easter, especially in society. I think a lot of people who don't consider themselves religious still pull out hard-boiled eggs and some dyes and hopefully a plastic tablecloth under that. Because it's a little bit messy. But I think the church has forgotten where that tradition started. And it is tradition. Tradition says that on Easter morning, and this is from the other Gospels, when Mary and the women went to the tomb prepared to do the final wrappings and anointing of the body, Mary Magdalene brought hard-boiled eggs for them to eat. It's a good, nice, nutritious breakfast after all, easy to carry. When they found the tomb rolled away, she looked at the basket and all of the eggs had turned red. Years later, the Orthodox Church tells us Mary Magdalene, because she was connected to a very important family, got invited to visit an emperor. And it was tradition to bring the emperor a present when you came to visit him. So she brought an egg so she could tell them of the miraculous things she had witnessed. And the emperor did not believe her. And as she began to tell her story again, the egg she had brought turned red. And Christians have colored eggs for Easter for centuries, remembering this story, this early proclamation of the mystery and the miracle of the resurrection. I think if you still go out to the Ukrainian village, you can see the eggs they do, which are so beautiful and so detailed. But even still, whether or not we know it, this is a weekend when eggs have been colored and hidden, and somewhere beneath all of that lies the mystery we are here today to celebrate and to proclaim. That on this day, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Alleluia and amen. You can't imagine that this morning the disciples were looking forward to. Friday had been arguably the worst day of their lives. The teacher they had followed, they had loved, they had helped for 3 years was dead, cruelly and horribly dead. And we don't really know, John's gospel doesn't give us a reason that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. Perhaps she just needed to actually stand in front of the grave and weep. And those of us who have lost people we love know how important that can be alone. But when she got there, something was different. The stone was rolled away and she knew something had happened. Nobody tells us what she thought, but I'm sure she did not think that Jesus Christ had been resurrected. Maybe she thought it was more trouble from the Roman government. Maybe she thought that wild animals had come. We don't know. But she ran back to get help, for other people to come and figure this out with her. And this is one of my favorite parts, this next part. When Peter and the other disciple, the disciple who's never named in John's gospel, have a foot race to the tomb. If there was ever a time for the phrase, boys will be boys, this might be it. And they get there, and they actually go inside. And they see that Jesus' body is no longer there. And we're told that the disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, believed. We're not quite told what. And then they go home. And I have to imagine, however quickly they ran, they trudged home equally slowly. Because something horrible had happened. Just when they thought the day couldn't get worse, it did. They don't even have a grave to stand at and weep. And then Mary goes inside the tomb. And something is different from what the other disciples saw. Nobody tells us why Mary is the one to see the angels. There are mornings when I like to believe that it's because even the angels don't get out of bed too early, but that might be bias. Mary goes into the tomb, though. There are two angels, and they begin to hint at this mystery she still can't understand. She turns around to leave the tomb, and there is someone standing there, someone she doesn't recognize at first. We're told she thought he might have been the gardener. And that would make sense, there to make sure everything was fine. And she asks him if he knows what happened. And this might be the best moment of the story. Because Jesus looks at her and says her name. And in that moment where Mary is recognized, she recognizes her Lord and her teacher. And the world is changed. It's a perfectly fair question to ask, why Mary and why not Peter? Jesus does everything with Peter in the rest of the Gospels, even though Peter usually gets it wrong. Why not the other disciple, who in John's gospel is also close to Jesus all the time? Why Mary? Scholars of this era remind us that women had no power. They were outsiders. They were second-class citizens when they were deemed citizens at all. And for centuries, the church has marveled at this, that Jesus would first appear to someone who was on the margins of their society. But I think that means we have forgotten. We have forgotten that it was Mary who first welcomed the Christ child with a glorious song. A song that told us the world was about to change, that those in power would not always stay there. I think we have forgotten the song that Mary riffed off of, Hannah's song. When she was given a child, she had no reason to hope for anymore. I think we have forgotten that the women of God have always led the people in rejoicing. Right back to the Exodus. It may have been Moses that led them out of Egypt and got them across the sea, but it was his sister Miriam who, on the shores of the Red Sea, once they were safe, took up a tambourine and led them singing and dancing in thanksgiving. Perhaps when we remember all of the women who have sung and rejoiced at the great things God has done, we know it could only have been Mary, standing there weeping, who winds up running to tell others the good and the impossible news that Jesus Christ is risen. And he who was dead is alive. The Western Church, we forgot this for a long time. We were helped along as the men who ran the church began to confuse which Mary was which Mary. But in the Eastern Church, they've never forgotten that Mary Magdalene was the apostle to the apostles. That when everyone was terrified and scared and knew for certain that hope was finally dead, it was Mary who came back and told them that Jesus Christ had risen. Sometimes in our history, we have reminded ourselves that this person from the margins of society is the first person Jesus spoke to after the resurrection. As if, and because we need a reminder that Jesus is on the margins of our society. But I think we have forgotten that in the kingdom of God, there are no margins. In the kingdom of God, everyone is included, regardless of what the kingdoms that people build think. This morning, it is a woman who reminds us, just as God has always encouraged women to proclaim and sing in thanksgiving, that our God does greater things than we could imagine. And that today, Jesus Christ is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.